What's good, boys and world? It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. A little bit cooler today, but still gorgeous out here in Summerlin, Nevada. I'm in here with my two co-hosts, man. First, the guy who was missing last episode. He was on the milk box. To the YG of the show, man, the youngest man ever operate a casino sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. What's good, Casino Royale?
Wow, I was a little under the weather, like Five Star said, man. Out here in Vegas, it's crazy. The adjustments just go from like 90 degrees, it's like 60. Last night, it was like 55. And again, I'm from the South, so, you know, I'm kind of used to the adjustments. But out here in Vegas, it's just different for some reason. And when I say it get cold, it get cold. My little girl walked out this morning. She was like, oh, Daddy, I need some more clothes. So we had to get that together. But, you know, we back. What's up, Waging World? Continue giving out winners on Twitter. X, continue giving out winners on here. Well, you know, I'm ready. I'm excited for this show. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And also the OG of the show. He's with me since day one. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spritz? How are you this morning?
Man, I feel like I'm back in my element, Five Star, with the association. Before you jumped on, Cino and I pretty much broke down the whole league, each conference. We're back in our element. We're ready to find some winners.
Did you guys see that idiot, the two idiots? They were like the two guys from Home Alone at the Yankees.
Oh, my God.
Did you see them? They were about to be those guys. They're out there freaking, you talk about privilege. People always be talking about that, you know, oh, it's no such thing as privilege. Oh, it's some such thing as privilege. Because there's no way in hell those guys are supposed to get away with that. And they're lifting them up like they're just these heroes in New York, doing articles about them. I even heard the guy could come to the game tonight. Like, don't you just grab the player's wrist and try to twist it and break it off to take a baseball? Like, what the hell?
Bro, that's nuts. And just like you said, they are allowed back in the game. I didn't know that. I thought they were going to be banned. I would be surprised if they had went to jail and, you know, one of those rich guys in New York bailed them out. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if that
would happen. I don't think he went to jail.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he went to jail.
Did those guys, did they, you know, get escorted out the game or no?
Spread, you're on the floor at the Sacramento Kings game, right? And one of the Pistons that are visiting, dribble by, you reach out and trip them.
Kid Cunningham.
Or you just say, you know what? I'm going to take this basketball and rip them. Do you think you would have not been on the floor with your face like planted to the hardwood? What's going on, man?
My gosh. Yeah, I actually didn't see that. I know what you guys are talking about because on Twitter, but I was like you, Five Star. I was boycotting this series. It's the two teams I hate the most.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Sprit.
It's like I was like, man, I don't want to see this.
I saw two plays.
I'm not going to go to my ex's wedding either.
Spread, I only saw two plays in the whole World Series. I was at Westgate with Ski, and it just happened that it was the first game, and that's the game. I'm glad I saw it, though. That's when Freeman hit that grand slam, and right before he hit it, I told Ski, I was like, man, that being disrespectful, walking Mookie Betts to get to Freeman. He's about to make him pay, and he hit a grand slam. I think the first walk-off grand slam in World Series history, so that's the one play I saw, and only because I was in Westgate with all the TVs on, I'm watching college football and it's up. And then they showed over and over on the replays last night about this guy, Austin Capobianco. Sounds like a mob boss's son or something. So maybe he's connected highly in New York or something. But him and John Peter, they were allowed to do this. But now they're saying they're released, saying they're not going to be allowed back to their seats on today. So I guess they heard everybody else in other markets kind of upset with that. I just get sick of it. Baseball is one of those sports, like a lot of different things that are covered by the media, that's so territorial, so fanboy. You got these guys who grew up Yankees fans, grew up Dodgers fans, grew up Red Sox fans, writing about the game and telling everything from a slanted point of view. It's all opinionated. There's nothing based on data or facts anymore, so I don't really take too much into it, but I couldn't believe that they were applauding this guy and acting like he did something great. And just like Mookie Betts, man, is one of the best players in the MLB. You're not going to protect him right there, Major League Baseball? Like, you're going to let a fan just grab his wrist like that and yank him into the stands trying to take a ball? It's weird, man. It's weird what some people can get away with. College football playoffs, they're releasing next week the first little format that shows which 12 teams in, and people are saying it doesn't really matter right now because it's so early. The smaller schools now guarantee the spot in the national championship race, even if that's not exactly how the power brokers in charge define it. They don't say that, but pretty much how I set up, they're going to end up with one of the smaller schools getting in the 12-team format. Buys are going to be granted to the five highest rated conference champions. And because of that, the game's an unofficial power conference designation, pretty much. So ACC, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, they're all in. Conference champion from the American Athletic, Sun Belt, Mountain West, Mid-American Conference, USA. Conference USA will also earn a bid. And while it's not specifically designated, it's assumed that the 12th seed will be opposite a number five large team in the first round. So that would be like right now, I think Boise State probably has the in route on that with Army and Navy right on their heels, most likely. Does it even matter to be undefeated now? It's pretty much like it's went to college basketball. What do you think about have you kept up with the playoffs at all, Sino? About how the college football playoffs are going to be this year?
Yeah, I seen people was talking about that on Twitter. Guys was like, LSU shouldn't be in the conversation. Alabama shouldn't be in the conversation. It don't work like that no more. Like you said, you can get a loss. And I believe players are not even going to play some games now. Why would I play? You know, yeah. I know we're going to win X amount of games. Why would I play against this team? I'm just, you know, risking injury or something like that. We make the playoffs, get a little rest. And after what I seen Anthony Richardson did, this is a whole new breed of kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is a whole new breed of kids.
So, we'll get to that when we get to the pass.
Most definitely. It's a whole new breed of kids. So, man, we don't have to win like that to get in the playoffs. We do what we got to do. And again, I still think it's going to be those, you know, big teams, somebody at the SEC or some of that nature to win it all. Those little schools don't stand a chance. They're just making everybody happy. That's it.
What about you, Spread? Have you kept up with anything about the college football playoff?
Yeah, I like it. I'm not worried that being undefeated doesn't matter anymore. I think that it's going to make it a lot more exciting, and we'll find out who's truly the best. And I know sometimes we get caught up in, you know, right now, lately, it was who gets the number four spot. Let's just throw them all in there. Let's see who wins. I mean, the ratings are going to be through the roof. It's going to be must-see TV. And, you know, even though maybe they've taken a little shine off the regular season, I think it's worth it in the end to get 12 teams in there and give them all an opportunity to prove they're the best team.
Yeah, so we look forward to that. All right, man, let's not waste any time. We got a long, long, long docket to go over, man, and I'm on a time basis. I got to go over and cuss out everybody at Verizon. So let's. I got places to be and people to see.
You cussing out Verizon. I'm cussing out Xfinity, man. We going against the corporations this week. They're screwing us over, man.
Hey, it's us versus the machine. So that's how it's going to always be. Y'all hit that like button right now, man. If you're rocking with the Wagering World, we appreciate you guys being here. We had a really good week last week, and we plan to continue. One thing that we pride ourselves on the show is having the most consistent winners, and we try to give you guys the most free winners, man. So let's get right into the pass, Spread.
First game I want to talk about, Boise State at UNLV. I was joking around with Sino. Now the sports are in full swing. I've been just showing up to UPS, working about a half hour, heading home. I got to head home and watch that. And, you know, five star, I wasn't planning on watching the World Series, but I turned on my little YouTube 2 box to watch the games that you gave out when you gave out Boise State and UNLV, and you gave out USC. But USC was on Fox, so I ended up seeing that Grand Slam too because the game went so long.
Oh, okay.
But when we're going to talk about USC as well, but that's how I ended up seeing it. You know, they forced me to there as that game went long. But talk to me about what you saw in that Boise State game. I thought we were going to get the cover, but Boise State squeaked it out in the end. I believe the final score was 29-24.
What happened in this one was just the Rebels just couldn't get across the finish line. They had a really bad second quarter, man, and kind of knocked us out because we had the first half for more than the game, because you guys know that's how I bet. I always take the first half better. And it just some bad plays at the end of the half. They allowed Maddox Mattson to beat them. Now, that's the quarterback from Boise State. And mostly with his legs, he was all right throwing. He's 18 for 33. He's never been an active kid. But what I can admit is he's a fighter. I told you guys that I thought Ashton Jeanty would be contained, and he was. 128 yards on 33 carries is pretty good job for a college team stopping, you know, the best running back in the country. What hurt him, man, was Mattson. He ran three times for 58 yards and a touchdown, and he had a really big score on the touchdown run that got them back in the game and gave them the lead in the second quarter. They were, it was a minute and 50 seconds left, man, and they were down 16. I thought that we was good for the first half, and man, he made a really good scramble on that one, and he made a big play earlier to extend the drive as well. So what I got from the game, from this game, was that Boise State has a decent defense. They're a really competitive team. Ashton Jeanty is outstanding, which is true, but Mattson, maybe I'm, you know, underestimating him a little bit. He has some fighting spirit in him. We see how they do moving forward. UNLV, probably not going to be in the playoffs now. Now they can just look forward to make a really good bowl, which is really good for that program. Still a really good year by that team. I still will never understand why in the world their coach didn't start hard to Malik Williams from the beginning of the year. I never, and when we talk about A&M, I want to talk about that too with Marcel Reed. I just don't get why you're not playing the best player for your team, not giving your team the best opportunity to win.
Five star, there's been talk about the UNLV quarterback being an NFL caliber player. You know, maybe not a starter, probably not a first round pick, but do you think he can make an NFL roster?
I think he might be more Canadian guy. Okay. Just because what I don't like about him is sometimes when things get tight, he's a little loose with the ball. You know, maybe they can coach him out of that, but sometimes he forces some plays that I think he shouldn't. But he's definitely a great athlete, really good passer. So we'll see, man. You know, with good coaching, you can go far. So if he is the right type of coaching in the NFL, I'm sure he can stick because he's definitely a good player.
Cino, did you see that game? Did you have any thoughts?
No, I did not watch that game, but I know it was janky. It wasn't janky, it was jinky. That's what it was. Because the spread moved in favor of Boise State, right? I think it went to like -5 or -6 or something of that nature.
Yeah.
I know they lost by 0.5 points. That's what it was. Whatever the spread was, they didn't cover. But what you said it was, spread?
It was 4.5 and ended up 5.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. Yep, I knew it. Yep, I knew it was something of that nature.
With 83% of the public on the two, you know, so that was a parody.
Because I'm looking at this, right? I'm like, because again, I love the in play and I do my work. And if I get a better number, I always jump on it. And UNLV was definitely the right play looking at it. But I'm like, they're not giving me the number I want. Why are they not giving it to me? And that's exactly why. I'm, at the end of the game, they had a chance to go score. I seen a little bit. I was watching on the ticker and they didn't score, apparently. And that was, I feel, that was just a bad beat on y'all's side.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next game, Louisville. Traveled to Boston College, caught 7 points. Five star, I didn't see that one at all. What'd you see?
We cashed that one. That was one of my bigger plays in the group. We had the first half +4 and the game +7. Boston College won the first half money line, but they just couldn't hold on at the end. Louisville ended up taking over in the fourth quarter. Louisville has some good players over there. I just don't really care for Tyler Shaw, man. He's their quarterback. I seen him at Oregon. I seen him at Texas Tech. And it's the same thing always. He turns the ball over. He puts up some good numbers. He's a, you know, a decent passer. But the problem is he's loose with the ball, 2 interceptions. But we're grateful for it because it keeps us in the game. And Boston College honestly should have won that game straight up. 3 touchdown passes by Thomas Castellanos, but not efficient at all, going 13-28 for 164. Some really good play calls by Bill O'Brien. Got him some easy shots. A couple guys were wide open on a couple of those touchdown passes. So we cashed, and everyone on the Wagering World cashes with us, so we're happy about that.
See that one at all, Tino?
Five star broke it down well. I think this in the second half, they ain't come out with the energy they needed to complete the game. They should have definitely won that on the money line, but that's what it was. Five star, good call on that one.
So I did watch the Rutgers-USC game. We cashed that game. I don't have much takeaways. I mean, we nailed it, and it was easy.
Yeah.
I mean,
basically what we knew. Rutgers struggles on offense, man, and USC can score points, but that's about all that they can do. So that's enough on
yeah.
that. We cashed.
But when they face an easier defense, they're just gonna look really good. Because, you know, say what we want about Lincoln Riley, but he still can dial up plays and put up points.
He definitely can put up points. So that's what we rolled in the first half. They always come out with a really good plan, and I'm glad we were able to cash that one.
All right. Notre Dame blew out Navy. Were you surprised that that game was so not close? I guess I'm looking for the right word, but it was a blowout. Were you surprised by it?
When I gave out the first half plus seven on Jay Money's show, the market was completely different. Then it flipped on Saturday morning. I already knew it was over. But I texted him and told him, man, I'm not even playing this game, even though I gave it out as a free play, because it too much money rushed in on Navy at the last second. As I told you, Navy averages the most points per play in the whole NCAA. It's a really good team, but, man, they just got a really jinky day that started for them that morning, man. They just kept turning the ball over, man. They turned the ball over three times in the first quarter. You know, when that type of stuff happens, there's no way that you're going to lose. And they made life pretty easy for Riley Leonard with short fields and didn't make him have to drive the whole field. He is getting a little bit more comfortable in that offense, but I just still don't think of him much as a passer. He's a really good runner, though. And Notre Dame is a physical team. They play really fast. I know they lost to Northern Illinois, but they're looking like they might be an actual contender in the playoffs. Not saying that they're going to win it, but they will be able to make some noise. They have a good team. Navy, we'll see if they bounce back. Their biggest game of the year, of course, is coming up in December when they play against Army. Both teams are really high-ranked this year. Now Army's the only one undefeated heading to this game. But just got to protect the ball. You can't turn the ball over that many times. I feel like if Navy hadn't turned over the ball so many times in the first half, they would have had an opportunity to probably win this game or at least be within the number for sure. But, man, you cannot win when you have – seven fumbles and you lose five of them. Like, come on, man. That's impossible, man. There's way, way too many turnovers on their part. So just a sloppy effort by Navy.
Sino, did you see any of that Notre Dame game? What were your takeaways?
To be honest, me and the Raw group, we had the under. Bob, did they start fumbling that ball and turning it over like that? I turned it off. So now I didn't watch the game. It was just a sloppy game, and I figured it was going to be like that the whole way through. I didn't enjoy it. Nah.
Short fields, man. Short fields killed that over and killed the side.
Another easy cash we had, five-star, was Indiana. The Hoosiers get another big win, this time over the Washington Huskies. I watched a little bit of it. I had it on, but fairly easy cash, and I didn't have a lot of takeaways.
Yeah, I told everyone about the backup quarterback for Indiana that he was a decent player. That's Taven Jackson. He got some really good genes. You know, that's Trace Davis Jackson's brother, right?
Oh, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, that's his brother. So he has some good genes. You know, older brother plays for Golden State Warriors and was a really good player at Indiana. As a basketball player, but he stepped in and did what he was supposed to do. My whole base on this entire handicap was Kirsten Yeti. He has his teams ready. He'll be coaching Michigan in a couple years if Sharon doesn't get it together. If they don't help him out and go get the kind of quarterback that he needs over there, you'll see Yeti coaching Michigan real soon, because he's that type of guy where he could go to Michigan, man, and play for a national championship every year. He's that good. I was basing on him, and I'm also basing on the fact that I told you guys, Will Rogers, he had some good numbers under Jeb Fisher, Washington. He was playing all right, but when it really mattered, you cannot count on him. And he goes 19 of 26 for 202 yards, no touchdowns and two interceptions. And those two interceptions were huge because Washington was driving in the first their first possession and were in range to score a touchdown. Big play by Indiana's defense, getting a pick six and running back. And after that, everything kind of just snowballed on Washington. They did fight back a little bit in the second half, but not enough to ever where it was like in doubt about the cover on this game. We were able to hit the first half and the full game. And I'll be playing Indiana all year. I don't know what's going on with Rourke. I don't know when he gets back. I got to do some checking on that, because they're going to need Rourke if they're going to, you know, really make a push. But if they got Rourke, they can play with anybody.
All right. Sino, what'd you think of that one?
Shout out to the Indiana Hoosiers. Matter, shout out to the motherfucking Indiana Hoosiers. 2 weeks in a row, man. Five units. Indiana came through big, big time. And when I watched the show and I listened to it and I seen Five Star was on them again, I said, oh, yeah, we got to smash these people. And when we got the interception and we scored, again, them fans, man, that's everything. Those fans, that energy was crazy in that stadium. I said, oh, it's snowball over with in Indiana. Easy, easy win. Shout out to Five Star again for helping your little brother on that one.
100. Always, you know that.
All right, let's keep it moving. Illinois traveled to take on Oregon. Oregon blew them out, right? I didn't see that game.
Yeah, that wasn't even a game. We didn't give it out. We said we leaned Illinois, but we didn't play that game at all. We didn't touch it because, once again, market shift, just like the Notre Dame game. After that market shift, like it did, I was like, oh, they're about to let Oregon smoke them. And that's what they did. Just a beat down. It was 35-3 at halftime, man. So this game was never in doubt. Is Oregon a true number one? I don't think they are, but they looked like it last week.
The only counter would be we've talked about how these top programs aren't nearly as good as they were 3 to 5 years ago. And there's two of the reasons we believe the NIL, and for me, more the transfer portal. Because these guys before, you know, you went, and if you didn't earn the starting job, you stayed within the system, and you learned how to become a better player and tried to earn your starting job. Now you don't get a starter job. You transfer all around. So, number one, the top programs can't keep that same depth, and they're also not getting the same development because they're playing three different programs in 4 years, things like that. That's the only reason I would argue. Overall, I think the top four teams in 2016 might smoke these current top five teams. And I think that has a lot to do with the transfer portal. What do you think, Sino?
All I know is I gave out Oregon to win the Big Ten when we first started. They're now the favorites. Yep, sure did. It's all here. Numbers, timestamps, don't lie. Everything here. And right now, I think they're second to win the championship. And they're number one right now in the nation. Oregon,
they're not winning championships, you know.
I didn't say it was gonna win.
Who do you like? Who, if you were to pick right now, who would you pick, Five Star?
This one of the weirdest years ever. Honestly, be careful for Miami. Careful for Miami because they had the type of quarterback that could take a game over. Miami scores effortlessly. And that's one of the things that's, you know, really big when it comes to college football is, you know, scoring effortlessly. Defense is pretty good. Good defensive line. I'm sure Mario Cristobal will find a way to blow it, though. So I can't lean on them. It's just really up for grabs, man. We saw Texas against Vanderbilt. You know, we had Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's a good team. But Ewers looked more like himself, like maybe he's a little bit close off the end. So you got to always look at Texas. You know how we feel about LSU. But, man, that was a hard loss they took this week that we'll talk about a little bit later. And I don't know, man. It's up for grabs. You can't never count out Kirby Smart in Georgia. So it's up. If it's ever been up for grabs, this year's been up for grabs for real. Like anyone has a chance to win it this year. But I just don't feel like Oregon has showed me enough to say that, like, they're unbeatable. You know, we usually have a team that's unbeatable in college football. And we'll see this week if Penn State is who I think they are. I think Penn State's a really good team. We'll see if they are when they play Ohio State this week. So a lot of questions are about to be answered over the next couple weeks, Fred.
Who do you like, Sino?
For some reason, I think that man gonna step up as bad as he's been playing. As much shit I talk about Carson Beck, it's just like that. Again, he know he plummeting, and if he go win the championship, he could turn all of it around. So yeah. It's like the knockout. It's like in a fight, 12 rounds, you're getting beat up all 11 rounds, and in that 12th round, you just put him to sleep. Nobody care about the mother 11 rounds. You didn't win the fight. And that's I just feel that's what they're going to do. So that's what I'm looking at. I think Georgia's still.
All right. Let's talk about another team that's definitely in the mix, though, Texas. They traveled. They took on Vanderbilt. Another one I missed, Five Star. Tell me what I missed there when Texas took on Vanderbilt.
Easy, easy one right there. And the public was all over Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt still got it done with us. And we took them, too, with the Clients plus 18. Diego Pavia is just not a guy to give points to. He's a fighter, man. And he plays like he bets on himself. And I always like dudes like that. I like to bet on a guy who I can tell bets on themself and on their own team. And he plays hard, man. And they pushed Texas all the way to the end. They ended up losing 27-24, but just a sound effort by Vanderbilt again. They've came a long way. I don't know if Pavia has any more years of eligibility. I want to say he got to be a senior because he was over at New Mexico State for a while. But, man, if they could figure out a way to get him back there, they might make some moves next year by adding some people because some people are going to want to play with that guy. I can't remember if he's a senior now. I think he's a transfer senior, so I don't think he has any more eligibility, but he's done a really good job. And just props to Nashville, man, and everyone out there. I know that they love Vanderbilt, man, and they've been down for a really long time. And even in defeating this one, they got to be really happy with the results because they were head-to-head with Texas, man, the whole game, and really put on a good showing for their fans. Came up a little short, but we get the cover on a plus 18. Texas, is Texas becoming who they've always been before under Sarkisian? And as they start fast, they look like they're going to contend. And then as the year goes, they kind of dwindle and kind of die away. We'll see.
You know who loves Sark is Nick Saban. He's always giving him props.
Yeah, he likes it.
You ever notice that? He don't talk good about the Georgia coach. they work together for years.
He don't like him because he feels like, this is why I think, this is just my opinion. I think that Saban thinks that Smart took his style, took his everything that he does and took to Georgia. Like everything. Like he feels like he didn't create his own lane. I mean, he even was a DB like Saban was a DB. He was a defensive back coach like Saban was, defensive coordinator like Saban was, coaches the team the same way where it's more about defense and defensive line. Like he feels like he stole his whole blueprint. That's personal. Like, you know, I gave you the game and you took it over here instead of just chilling away with me until I walked away and just gave you Alabama. But he can't be mad at Kirby because Kirby, you know, is Georgia. He's from Georgia. He just happened to coach Alabama, but he played at Georgia too. So I think they've been at it a while, man. I think it's just some kind of like that Shanahan-McVay stuff we talked about. Like they're cordial. They used to work together. They benefited each other from working together. But it's just some, you know, little beef. Like, you know, they got a little grudge with each other.
All right. Any of your takeaways from that one, Tino?
Hey, some stuff just common sense whenever you sports betting, right? If you look at all the teams that Vandy done played, the last five games, they had some tough people, right? And everything was less than by a touchdown, and they won the game. Man, you about to give me 18 points. Just damn near beat Bama. Who else did damn near beat Missouri? They beat Kentucky. They beat Ball State. You're going to give me 18 points against a Texas team, and I just seen Quincy
beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah, right? You think I'm about to – man, when I heard – again, I listened to the show. Man, you guys get a lot of good information, man. It's so easy to do. Just turn it on. Hit the like button. I'm listening to the show. I'm like, yeah, 5-star ready. I'm with him on that one. That was a no-brainer. We was definitely on that. Thank you, big bro, for that one.
You're welcome, brother.
All right. And let's talk about, you know, speaking of where you grew up.
Worst game for that.
Louisiana – LSU.
Hey, look, and I'm about to be real with this. I did this a personal play, right? I had LSU first half money line, right? They can't. I'm thinking 5-star in my head on this. I'm definitely 5-star. I'm thinking like you. They gonna come out. They gonna win. And I gave the clients, we teased them up. So I'm so sorry on that, y'all. I really didn't think LSU was gonna lose that game. Nussmeyer just has to make better decisions. You think that's on Brian Kelly? I think it's going on Nuss. That game right there was on Nuss. You make better decisions, man. You guys win the game. Y'all had it. Like, what the beach? That interception. What you seen, Five?
Yeah, it was that interception that kind of opened up everything, created the snowball effect. Nuss has all his talent to throw for 405 yards, but you cannot throw for three interceptions. That one that he threw that gave A&M life and put him back in the game just was dumb, man. Just what are you doing? You know, like, don't do that right there. You guys are in a position to go up three scores right here. Just protect the ball, be smarter with it, throw the ball away out of bounds, you know. And he's what I always worried about this team. Brian Kelly couldn't do anything about it because what happened is they were preparing for Connor Wegman, and second half, the best quarterback on A&M roster all of a sudden played. I don't know why the hell Mike Elko stopped starting Marcel Reed. He's the best player on their team. He's a coach's son. He knows the offense. He's electric. He's not afraid. And you saw how those guys just completely started playing different when he got in the game. Because teams are going to play for quarterbacks that they know they have a chance to win with, man. Everybody's going to give a lot stronger effort when they have someone under center that they know can get the job done, and it keeps them in the game, man. So good job by that kid, Marcel Reed. And Mike Elko, I got to ask you the same thing. I'm asking Barry Odom at UNLV, what the hell are you doing? why is Marcel Reed on the bench and you allowing Connor Wegman to go 6 of 18 for 64 yards? He had that one flash game when he came in and he played well and when he was the surprise starter. And I remember taking A&M that game against Missouri, and I was pissed that he was starting because I wanted Marcel Reed to start. It ended up working out for us, but we always talk about it on here. Sooner or later, if you keep watching, things are going to come back to the mean. And the mean is that Connor Wegman is an inconsistent quarterback, and Marcel Reed is a real dual threat, smart guy at quarterback. 9 rushes for 62 yards and 3 touchdowns, man. He killed LSU by himself in the second half.
Bro, that's no debate. I don't know, like, I'm like you, 5-star. These coaches getting paid all this money to make dumbass decisions. I could make better decisions right here from the waging world. What are y'all doing? Like, he's a redshirt. I understand that. But to come out there and the trajectory of the game change like that, nah, you definitely got to stick with
that. We've been dealing with that our whole life. So, you know, you played ball before. You know how it is, man. You get these coaches and they get their favorites and stuff. And they play. If the team's good enough to keep it where they're winning, they don't use the guys that they don't like, you know, personally. And then if something goes bad and they're about to lose their job, now all of a sudden you want to throw them in the game. So I just don't understand why Elko ever benched Marcel Reed. I bet he won't be on the bench the rest of the season.
Oh, nah. And if he's on the bench for the rest of the season, that's a problem. I think he have Texas looking like the A&M Aggies from 1998.
Right,
right. I know he made some mistakes, man, but I saw some NFL-level throws out of Nussmeier. You think he can be a good pro?
Nope.
You got to make good decisions.
That was quick.
You have to make
the everybody's saying that about him. He might make it to the pros and be a backup for somebody, like for a couple years. He's a good guy. He's nice. He might go to over Washington, back up Jane Daniels, be his homeboy, hang his homeboy, back him up, you know, because Nuss thought about he makes too many errors, man. He's got a great passing arm. He's just not a thinker. He's one of those guys, he just out there playing. He's not, you know, thinking of time, situation, moment, none of that.
That shit not go fly in the NFL. It's a whole different caliber of play. Look at Trevor Lawrence. Like, people not understanding that. You're not about to go in there and make those decisions that you're making in college football and think these professionals who got to feed their family about to let you survive. You're not going. Nah. Uh-uh. I don't think so, neither, Five.
All right. Interesting. Because I'll tell you what, I was impressed. That's why I like talking to you guys. Let's go to the NFL Sunday. And I'll go ahead. I've been winning a lot lately. But I haven't been winning every single one. And one of my worst plays, I'd say, of the year was taking another LSU alumni, Joe Burrow, and I just thought, oh, he's way better than Jalen Hurts.
It was even about that.
He might be, but the rest of the Philadelphia team is so much better than Cincinnati Bengals. This is a team sport, and I think I simplified my handicap too much. The Eagles were just better at all phases of the game. They won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I feel bad for Joe Burrow. He got to pull Carson Palmer. He got to get out of that franchise, man. They're done. He got to take that backpack off and find a new place to play. I was really disappointed in the Bengals and in myself for taking them. What did you see, 5-star?
I gave out on here on the Ball and Parlay. I gave it out on ESPN 97.5, and I also gave it out on J Money and Ski. First quarter Bengals. I knew not to wait and let this game get jinky at the end because the game kept going. The Eagles have a much better team than the Bengals got. So we took advantage of the fact that the Eagles still have not scored a touchdown or any points in the first quarter all this season because Sirianni, he doesn't come out with a good prep plan. Like, but I do give him that he does make good adjustments offensively as he sees what the defenses are doing. As you see, second half, they poured it on. They were getting a lot of easy plays. They were hitting for some big chunk plays on the Bengals. But starting out, man, they start slow, and we took advantage of that because the Bengals always start fast. Plus, Zach Taylor does come out with a really good offensive game plan because he's an OC. I know that's supposed to be what Sirianni's background is, but what was so great about the Colts' offense when he was the OC, I don't remember being that good. But he got the job off of whatever reasoning that Howie Roseman hired him. Howie Roseman doesn't make a lot of mistakes in his coaching hiring, so he saw something in Sirianni. And, I mean, we call him a frat boy and talk about him, but he has went to a Super Bowl already in his young career, and there's a lot of coaches who've been coaching 20 years and never been to the Super Bowl. So you got to, you know, give him that. Great leader in Jalen Hurts. They say that Jalen Hurts and him had a man-to-man sit-down during the bye week and really kind of, like, aired a lot of things out and they sound like they're on the same page. Hurts came back saying that that was his coach, and you know they were going to figure it out and they were going to play better, and they did. Eagles will be around all year. They really got a chance of going back to the Super Bowl again. If Sirianni can just, you know, fall back and stop doing all the goofy stuff. Even at the end of this game, he was messing with a dude's helmet or something on the sidelines. He got mad at him. So he just got to fall back. I don't know if he be high there or something. Whatever he doing, he need to just chill. Just let these guys ball and be the coach, man. Just be their coach. Cincinnati, I already told you, that's over with. They're not going anywhere this year. It was already set in stone when they didn't pay Jamar Chase. Karma does not like that. So they're not going to have a good year. I just hope and pray for Joe Burrow's health. I pray that he doesn't become Carson Palmer, because we've seen so many times before with Cincinnati that same thing. And it seems like he's, like you always say, Spread, like he's on the same exact path as Carson Palmer, where they can score with anybody. They got the squad. They got receivers. And then all it takes is a bad game, and now his career is messed up because he's with this shitty organization. So I don't think they'll ever let go of Burrow. You'll probably have to get him 5 first rounds because he is their team. He's how they sell all their jerseys. He's their money cow. So there's no way that they're going to let go of him. But I just hope for the best for him, because I don't think that he's going to have the weapons that he has around him now too much longer. They're going to have to build around probably – throwing to the kid from Alabama who came over there. They're going to probably have to focus on him, because I'm telling you, Jamar Chase is out.
Greg, that kid can't even stay awake in meetings. Sino, did you see that game? And I'm still out on Sirianni, because I don't think they're going to flame out in the playoffs, and I think they move on. It's not coaching. That's Howie Roseman, man. He had 17 of the best 22 players on the field. I mean, it's almost like college, right? Like, who's that guy in Miami? Cristobal?
Yeah.
Not a good coach. He just gets better players. That's what I'm seeing out of Sirianni. Sino, what did you see?
I'm same exact thing. I could go out there right now with the Philadelphia Eagles and the coach and put that headset on and win some games. But I faded my numbers that game, man. The Eagles was like 9-0 in this spot on my system, and I'm like, they definitely gonna win. But it was at halftime. It was 10-10. They tied it up. And I'm like, oh, we're going to play some second halves and stuff like that. I actually gave this out as a free play on Twitter. And somebody was like, man, are you watching the game? The defense is going crazy. They're not going to win. And sure enough, I'm like, damn, I should have wrote with 5-star on this one. He did give out his bowling parlay. But now, again,
first I quarter.
Yep, you did. I faded him. Because, again, he be knowing what's going to happen. And if you guys watch a lot of these NFL games, towards the end, everything starts to shift. I don't know why it's been like that.
You could be winning.
And
it's called the witching hour.
The witching hour. Yep. This was the worst witching hour I've seen in a long time. It's either you're going to win or you're going to lose. And for some reason, it's been like that all season, all these weeks. We probably had 1 week to where, you know, you had a couple touchdowns and you had no sweat. But the public, they finally come back down to planet Earth after last week.
And that's why I always bet college football. I've adjusted so much over the years now. But Saturday, my wife and my family know I'm on the grind. I'm hustling. Sunday, we can do whatever. Because I'm not even really paying attention. I'm
going
to watch the first group of games where I can see all the good stuff. Then that second group, I'm going to find the best game, have it on my phone, but we're going to be out. And I'm going to have like a one parlay going 4 teams or so money line. I'm not messing with the NFL, bro. NFL is going to take your money, man.
You're right.
That's what it's going to do.
You always taught me a lot, and I'm about to take heed into that. I was looking at my chart from the past 3 months. Man, I haven't lost a Saturday in a long time, right? It was like 2 weeks ago I lost my first Saturday. And I'm looking. Every time I go into Sunday, I got a big L. It's either a big win or a big L. Like this past Saturday, I think I won like, 15 units. Come back Sunday, I gave back 10 of them. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, what the hell took place? The NFL, that's what happened. That is
up in the groups, you know. Shout out to the Supreme Clientele. Shout out to the guys who've asked about the private group. Shout out to the new members. Once again, if I can't service you guys, please make sure that you guys contact Spread and Sino. They might have room for you on their group and stuff. We was up 33 and a half units after Saturday, Sino. We went crazy on Thursday to Saturday. First in the morning, as soon as it started, we lost like 5 units. First half on something. I said, man, we ain't bet nothing else. We just sat on our 28. Units and waited, and they was like, "No, anything." I'm like, "Nah, I'm good. We're not bid nothing else. We're gonna wait till the standalone," and that's what I did. I waited till the night game and was able to get some action on the first half.
5-star, you know, we all have some of these old habits, and they die hard. One of my old habits is if I'm gonna take an underdog, or an under, I wait. If I want a favorite or the over, I play it early. And the idea is that the public's going to push the money and I'm going to get a better line if I wait until right before the game. Came back to bite me on that Packers game, bro, because I don't know if it was the public, but the markets were on it. I went to bed at Sunday morning. It's at +3. I said, man, it was +4.5 a couple days ago. So obviously a lot of people thought that the Jaguars could get the cover, and that's how it ended up. To be fair, though, you watch the game. I never thought that Jacksonville was going to win. We knew Green Bay was going to win the whole time, but that's why I think that people like taking the points a lot more in the NFL than the NBA, because those backdoor covers are live. The Jaguars get the final touchdown, and Green Bay is not going to try and answer. They just run the ball out and end the game. Jacksonville backdoor covers, but to be fair, they were never – the money line was never live is what I'm trying to say. What did you see when Jaguars hosted the Packers? And maybe Jordan Love out again. I don't know how he's going for this week, but second time this year he's been out with injury.
I watched that entire game, and actually – Green Bay could have covered, but they did the thing that went against us with the Cincinnati and Giants game. Instead, when Chase Brown's grandmother bet on him to score a touchdown, so he decided to go in and score. Instead, you got a veteran over here from the Vegas, used to play for the Raiders, that knows exactly what to do for the NFL, and Josh Jacobs, and he slides down instead at the one, and they kicked the field goal to win the game. But he could have easily scored. He was all the way through the line and right at the goal line at the end of the game. What I have to say about the Packers are, boy, the league is in trouble. I kind of anticipated this. That's why I have my ticket in my pocket for them to win the NFC. I've told you before, I knew the regular season was going to be the Lions, but when the playoffs come, it's going to be about the Packers. As their defense is morphing into maybe the best playmaking defense in the whole NFL. I love everything that Hadley's doing on the defensive side of the ball. Now Robert Saleh is coming in and giving a little information on the offensive side. Kind of giving his best friend. I don't know if people know that or not, but Matt LaFleur and them best friends, they were, you know, best men at each other's wedding. So I wouldn't be surprised if Salah's on that staff next year, especially if Jeff Hadley ends up getting a better college job, which might happen with the kind of showing he had as a defensive coordinator this year for Green Bay. Maybe doesn't even want to go back to college. Maybe he, you know, takes a different DC job. But if it opens up, I'm sure Salah will be on that staff. Robert Saleh's kind of helping Matt LaFleur with the way that you approach the defenses, approach offenses and stopping his offense, to kind of give him another view, another lens, and they're just getting better and better. I still remember my guy asked me before the season, he said on X, are you so high on Matt LaFleur? Why you said he was any young coach you hire, that would be your coach to start your organization with? We just seen it. Malik Willis was a mess. Everybody said Malik Willis couldn't play. And I watched Malik Willis in college and saw him be destroyed by Hugh Freeze with those cards in the air, read one side, stick it in the stomach and throw a slant. If he's not there, run. That's not teaching you how to play quarterback. Matt LaFleur is the first quarterback coach that he's actually had. The first offensive guy he's actually had that understands the nuances of playing offense and understands how important it is to work on a quarterback's mechanics. Now Willis isn't missing those throws. That great play call that they had with Reed going down the sideline hit him on the money. If he'd have been in Tennessee, he would have sailed it because his footwork and mechanics would have been bad. So that's all repetition, man. A lot of these guys, that's why I love Mike Tomlin. He said that a lot of these coaches are lazy, man. They don't want to coach. They don't want to coach. Matt LaFleur gets down, he coaches those guys, and he teaches them how to play the game. Great job. Not much fallback with Willis in that quarterback. Now, to get where they want to be, yeah, Jordan Love's going to have to beat him by the playoffs. But if I was them, I'd take Jordan Love along slowly. He seems pretty beat up in his lower extremities. He's had, now it's going to be his second injury that he had, and that didn't look good what happened. So I'd sit him. You got Willis. You got the best running back right now in the league, and Josh Jacobs. I want to say, is he still leading the league in rushing spread? I think so, right?
I don't know. I actually
it's
don't
him and Derrick Henry, like neck and neck, I want to say.
Yeah. But regardless, he's been a huge pickup, and I know we're missing him in Las
ridiculous,
Vegas.
Ridiculous, man. That number two in the league in rushing without a rushing quarterback. Like all the other teams who are up there with them have quarterbacks that run. Them is just pure rushing yards, man. So I like everything going on with Green Bay. Jacksonville, brand new regime next year, brand new team. They're just playing right now. They just traded the little homie, Cam. to Minnesota. He's from Monroe. Shout out to Cam, man. They traded him. He was the tackle, Cam Robinson from Alabama. He's from Monroe, Louisiana, though. He was the tackle for them, and they just traded him to Minnesota. So hopefully,
when did that happen?
Yeah, they traded him early this week.
He gonna take Darisaw's spot?
Yep, Cam Robinson.
Oh, I missed that. Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah. Yep, they got Cam Robinson.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he could play.
That was a huge part of my handicap. Oh man. All right. I'm glad you told me that. Yeah, he's a great player. Sino, what'd you see in that one?
I knew that line was fishy as hell. And when I woke up, it was just so close. I'm like, why I didn't take the Jaguars? I should have just put this bet in overnight. But Jordan Love, if he stay healthy, the Packers are gonna be a problem. That's a no-brainer. Ball on the chest, ball on the number. He good where he at. He just needs to stay healthy, man. I pray for the kid.
Let's keep it moving here. Next one that we wanted to talk about. Oh, that was it. The Colts and taking on the Texans. Colts bench Anthony Richardson. That's the top story. And I can't wait to talk about Thursday Night Football. I cannot wait, five-star. People sleeping on the Texans. I know they didn't cover, but still.
Shitty. We already know they're about to do some bull crap and make that game where the Jets either win or the line's real close within the two. It's too much public money on the Texans, man. It's like 90% of the money. We just saw this with the Vikings and the Rams. We just saw it. So when we talk about it, we'll get into it more. But the Texans don't look crisp. Another receiver down. Now, it's really sad what happened to Diggs, man. I feel for Stephon Diggs because he could have easily got an extension with the Texans. Now he decided to bet on himself. Say, don't even worry about it. I'm going to do a one-year contract and come prove and prove to you guys he's been in the best shape of his life, was a really good teammate, was being a veteran presence in that wide receiver room, and just is out there making a little cut and ends up blowing his ACL for the whole season, man. So I feel really bad for Stephon Diggs, man, because now he's in that point of uncertainty. I think that the Texans do what's right and probably re-sign him. He probably just not going to get the money that he was going to originally get. He's going to probably lose some money, man. But, you know, I feel bad for him on that. This offensive line for the Texans, Kenyon Green, man, if y'all see him somewhere in Houston, man, I want everybody when you see him, you tell them five-star looking for him. Because, bro, Kenyon Green needs to be ashamed of himself, man. He out there playing Ole. Like, he just moving out to, like, bro, you're a professional starting offensive lineman. And soon as CJ gets the ball, it's like middle school jailbreak. Just everybody on him. I'm like, what the hell is going on here, man? What happened to our line? You know, I've been telling you guys about Skarnecki. They have to call him. They got to do something because the Texans might have the worst offensive line in the league, and they were supposed to be one of the best. If you watch them every week like I do and watch every play, you'll be highly disappointed with the offensive line play. But what's crazy, they're really good run blockers. Like Joe Mixon does his thing. They're good at run blocking, but pass blocking, they're horrible. They're the worst pass blocking team in the whole league. I don't care what anyone says. I watch them. They got to get it together. I hope they make a move before the trade deadline to try to get somebody in there or do something, because Kenyon Green is not the answer. And I don't know about Larry Tunsil. He didn't have a false start, but he needs to get his crew together. You're the rich guy. You know what it is? And it's going to sound racist, but I don't care. It's my show. We need more white boys on the offensive line for the Texans. It's way too many black dudes on the line. They had a little picture. It was so true as a bee. Bro, I played football. I like the line that was mixed. I need me some black tackles, and I need some white guards and center. Like, I'm going to just be real with you, bro. Like, I'm going to just be honest with you. And that's what's wrong with the Texans. There's too many fly guys on the line. They out there wearing a Miri and red bottoms and stuff. You can't block nobody with that mentality. Go find some boys driving some tractors to go block for CJ Stroud, man. Go find some boys hunting. Like, I'm sick of these dudes.
So, you know, I don't know how you follow that.
Hey, there's nothing I can say. Five stars, mouth full, man. Let's move on.
Yeah, because I want to talk about the Texans going into tomorrow night, because I still think people are sleeping on them. I can't wait to hear what you say. Buffalo Bills.
Wait, Seattle. Don't forget to go to Miami. We got to go to Miami spread.
I kind of just passed that one up.
You tried it.
I did pretty good. I was smooth, huh? All that would be in politics the way I'd be bouncing these questions. All right, the Cardinals not only today.
I mean,
so first of all, I'm glad I didn't bet on that game because I didn't put no money against it. The line got kind of fishy when it moved to four. I didn't see how that it moves past three and two is game back. Let's give credit to the Cardinals for getting the win. And Marvin Harrison is either boom or bust. He either scores like 37 fantasy points or has two targets. But it's nice to see that chemistry kind of developing there. And that's what that team's really going to need. Jonathan Gannon's doing a great job with the defenses. Obviously, that's a tough offense to scout for. So what did you think of that game? And is Kyler ready to lead them out of that NFC West? NFC West got holes right now. It's a wide open division.
Man, they're quietly having a good year. You guys know they got a good coach. Their coach was really good with the Eagles. That defense was outstanding when he was over there. And quietly, the Arizona defense is doing a really good job, man, of holding teams down. Everybody was thinking this was going to be a big celebration for the Dolphins with Tua coming back. And I was saying that they would do a game where Waddle went off. They would do a game where Cheetah went off. But I did not bet this game, and I'm glad I didn't. I just watched it, and I really enjoyed it. People forget how important James Conner is. James Conner brings a whole different type of fight to an offense, man, because he's fighting on every play. You know, like, he's giving his all. He's a cancer survivor, strong, solid dude. And I think that he's a really good influence on that locker room and on that offense. He gives it a kind of a mind state that's needed when you got a quarterback as good as Kyler Murray. Because now with him being able to run the ball and bring that physicality, now you kind of have to, you know, forget about Kyler briefly because you got to stop the run. And then here comes Kyler doing the magic that he does. 26 to 36, 307 yards, two touchdowns. Spread asked me last show, you know, about Kyler. And I told him what I thought about him. I think that he's still a top 10 quarterback in the league. And I think that he's proven it because Arizona is a market no one really watches. So they don't understand how good this team has been of late. They were down 18 to 27 in the fourth quarter. This is the type of stuff I saw Kyler do all the time playing high school football in Texas. Seen him do all the time at Oklahoma. He's that type of guy. Very competitive spirit. I don't know why they got these little rumors and fake stuff about him playing games and all this. Kyler's never been like that, man. He plays the game because all people have stuff they do outside of football. If you knew Kevin Murray, who was Kyler's dad, you would understand that you should always bet on Kyler being good. Kevin Murray was one of the best passing quarterbacks in the NCAA in the early 80s. And he didn't get drafted because he was black and because of his size. Because he was black and because he wasn't that tall. I think he was like 6'1". Broke every passing record of Texas A&M. So what he did was, I'm about to create my son into the best quarterback that I could make him and teach him all the stuff they're saying that I couldn't do so that he can make it to the league. And he also coaches other quarterbacks as well. Kyler just didn't get the hype. He was short like his mom, you know. But still, at the end of the day, that shows what type of great players. Kyler's the only 5'9 quarterback in the world that can play like he plays, you know. So he's just amazing, man. And people don't really give him enough credit because, as I said, gets bad press. Tua's in Arizona. Nobody cares about the Cardinals. So just keep an eye on that team. They're going to surprise some people this year.
All right. You know, I do plead guilty for not giving Kyler the credit he deserves. So I've got to ask you, Cino, though. I don't know if I believe in this coach in Miami.
I was just about to say that. You took the
risk. Pull that coach. That's why.
Mike, I was about to say that. Mike Daniels and them partying out there, man. And I was also starting to follow on the players. I followed Chino on Snapchat. He was just getting my man. He was like, go look at my stats. I'm still here. Like, we playing. We still here as a team. It's some shit going on over there. That team needs a lot of prep. It's a lot of jank. Quarterback getting hurt. Cheetah not doing what he used to do. Mike McDaniel out there, eyes all red. Like
But hey, y'all forgot, remember, they already had a coke scandal there. You remember?
Yeah, they were talking about that.
He was doing it up in the meeting room.
His side girl, his prostitute, little girlfriend, and was doing coke in front of her right in the damn facility. Yeah, so, that, that like yeah, that, man.
It's yeah. different. That's it's based all on coaching again.
They had to get Brian Flores out of there. The owner was like, no, this guy's by the book. Get him the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Too much.
He's going to tell on me.
But nah, I was, man, I thought, again, I thought Tua would come back and they would do something. They looked good with Kyler Murray, man. Video games or not, that's a hobby for that kid, man. That's what the hell he want to do. That's what he going to do when he step in that box door and start running around. Kyler, like, I'm like, you five stars. Arizona's the damn Cardinals. Nobody pay attention to them, but they're a sleeper. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyler wouldn't bring them a Super Bowl, man, before, you know, it's all said and done.
And you remember, too, Spread, we talked about him and Marvin Harrison. They must have watched the show and said, we'll show you, because Marvin yeah. Harrison had a great game.
Yeah, he did.
Great game.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see it because he's got a lot of talent, and I'd like to see those two flourish together. The Buffalo Bills and the Seattle Seahawks.
Easy money. We got to talk about that one. Everybody bit Buffalo on the screen, so.
All right, let's keep it moving. Hey, yeah, I'm going to add
just,
one, though.
We'll just say this. You go ahead, Spread, then I'll tell you. I just feel like, I'm just say this real quick, then you can go ahead. Yeah. Josh Allen, the Bills, watch them. This might be the year. Every year I'm waiting for them to be the quiet team that nobody's paying attention to and getting into the Super Bowl. They actually might can do it this year. I love the way Josh Allen's playing.
I might add one that ain't on the script, though. What do you guys think with Jameis Winston taking over in Cleveland? Because I was on Cleveland there. I should have taken the money line. I'm cowardly. I only took the points, but that's fine. Because, hey, it could have gone either way. But my question for you going forward is that a one-week bump for Jameis and the Browns? Or is this team going to be good the rest of the year? I'm kind of leaning towards number two. I think this team's excited.
Yeah, they're excited. They happy to be playing. He already was the leader of the team. So Jameis already was doing all the breakdowns, all the talking in the locker room and everything, which was so weird to me. The backup quarterback is the vocal leader of the team. Like, what the hell is Deshaun doing? Did he have his own, like, locker room separate from everybody or something like Russell Wilson did in Seattle? Because it didn't make any sense to me that every time I saw anything going down with Cleveland, in the middle of it was Jameis Winston. Everybody was rallying around. They love that guy. And you can't help but love him because Jameis is just a genuine fella, man. He just says what's on his mind and on his heart. He doesn't try to, you know, be all, you know, sneaky and try to come up with ways to fool. He's just who he is, man. And he can't throw that ball deep. But we did see that game. The play before he threw the touchdown, he threw an interception.
Yes.
But Kyle Hamilton, not known for his ball skills, more of a box safety and a blitzer. Could not hold on to that ball. The Ravens had the drops overall that game. They were looking like buffoons out there. I was watching that game. I didn't have any money on the ski at Cleveland, but I was just like, these dudes looking so stupid out here. Like Lamar throwing a ball, hitting them in the face mask, and they dropping it. You know, like, what is y'all doing? So the Ravens, the NFL is the NFL. Now the Ravens are back. Well, you got question marks, you know, because they're supposed to win in Cleveland. You're not supposed to lose that game. Tucker missed a field goal. That's why people wanted to do these guys be working. You know, like, when they had a Tucker, Justin Tucker, I know he's human, but he's almost automatic from 40 and in. He missed a 40-yard field goal. Like, come on, man. But Jameis Winston will play well this year. Got to watch for the turnovers. But if you guys remember, Stefanski is one of the best play callers and coaches in the league. Deshaun Watson had him looking like ass. He's had all types of guys running that offense looking decent, and they were contending and playing well. So I know he'll be able to do it with Jameis. He'll reel all that stuff in because Stefanski, much like Matt LaFleur, is really good at working with quarterbacks. I just think Deshaun Watson just had that on him. You know, he couldn't coach what's on him out of him because what's on him is bigger than football, you know, so I think him and Jameis will do well, and Cleveland loves him, man.
Quick question about Watson. Is Amari Cooper from Texas? I heard he knows or he's close with one of the women in the lawsuits, and I'm like, man, that must have caused a lot of problems in that locker room.
He's from Florida. He's from Miami.
No,
Amari Cooper from Miami?
Amari Cooper from Miami.
All right. Final question. I'm going to give this one to you, Sino. Deontay Johnson, on his way to Baltimore, how much do you think that helped his team?
Powerhouse. Again, they're giving Lamar everything he needs. Like, it's everything he needs to win. And look, y'all, I say this all the time. The universe gives us signs. Every time. Deshaun Watson had to go through everything he had to go through. That's just part of life. That's what it is. I don't know. Maybe he really was doing what he was doing for, you know, stuff to happen the way it's gone. But when Jameis Winston came out there and started talking about the Lord and how this was destined, and he was serious, he wasn't joking, dude. He was dead ass serious. The reporter asked him, Jameis, how you feel about the coaches and this? I don't know about none of that. The Lord said, I'm going to rejoice after this. He said he's going to win. I say, what? That man talking, it's easy money. Jameis Winston, let's go. And I'm so upset not to have him in New Orleans. Seeing what they're going through there, he's still supposed to be out there in New Orleans. And
he should have been the starter, man. And
yep, hey,
car, everything would be different, man. Everything
different. And I finally think, Spread, you're right. Number two is right. I finally think the Cleveland Browns will look like a football team. They're going to look like a football team. Everybody excited to play. The fans were super, super excited. You know, they're glad they have a new situation and they finally see light through the tunnel. So, be looking out for the Cleveland Browns.
It's funny that you said that too. You were right about him playing at Miami. Spread. He actually was Teddy Bridgewater's receiver at Miami. They went to high school together. Bet they were a pretty good team, right?
Yeah, I bet you.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's another one of the most popular Saints quarterbacks ever.
Shout out Teddy.
Final comment about that game, especially with Johnson going to the Ravens. It's funny how the Chiefs and the Ravens kind of changed identities. 3 years ago, right? Ravens all defense, no offense. Now it feels like the Chiefs are all defense, you know, limited offense. Changing of identities there. If the Ravens don't make it this year, it's going to be because of that defense.
They're not going to beat Kansas City the way they're playing right now.
I don't know if they can beat Buffalo either.
They can beat Buffalo. The reason why defense isn't like it's been in the past. So I think that it'll turn to a shootout, and I trust the Ravens defense making adjustments enough to get a couple stops over the Bills getting Lamar off the field when they're seared. Bills are no name this year. So maybe Sean McDermott shows his worth because that's the side of the ball this year. But I don't know. I think the Ravens and Kansas City is pretty much a lock to be in the AFC Championship game against each other. Like the only people who could disturb that would be the Texans, in my opinion. But they aren't right this year, man. They're not going to beat anybody with that type of pass blocking, bro.
All right, Five Star, you know I'm not going to forget this one. What did you think of Brock Purdy getting it done at prime time? What a great performance from the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. That game shouldn't even been that close. I can't believe Dallas got the little backdoor push on that closing number of six. I can't believe that game went over either. So what did you see in that one? And are you ready to give Purdy his credit?
No,
as the top 10 NFL quarterback?
No. He went 18 to 26 for 260 yards of the touchdown. I'm not giving him no props for
that. Man had a wide open pass to Deebo Samuels that he threw bad.
Yeah, I'm not giving him no props for that. Cowboys spread. We're not going to do a victory lap.
Come on,
Cowboys. Man. Now, I can see Kyler Murray. He's in Miami. First game, Tua back there on the road. But the Cowboys coming to Frisco. Come on, man. That's automatic. Like, that's easy money. It could have been a better get right game for the 49ers than the Cowboys pulling up. So I don't. But as I always said, I play about Brock Purdy. You know, I bet Brock Purdy every week at Iowa State. You know, and he went to the Super Bowl already. So he's a good quarterback. He just isn't a top 10 quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But it'll be interesting to see. Same deal with Dak in Dallas. I mean, he's a good player. But
he's not overpaid. He's way overpaid. He's gonna have to take a pay cut.
But my point is, if he made $30 million, I think the team would be so much better, and
he
we want to complain
most money
about
in the NFL this year.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
Higher than Mahomes,
and a hamstring in the team. They just don't.
That's why
no
he on that video with them girls dancing like that, looking so sassy. He happy to be.
Star just said something. He make the most money, right, as a quarterback this year in the NFL. Why in the hell are you handing the ball to your running back in third down situations? Third and five or third and six. Why is your big megastar quarterback you're giving all his money to not throwing the ball out of Cowboys?
And handing it to watch that Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott is over. He already got his money, living his life. He doing coke on white girls' butt cheeks. He's living it up right now.
For real.
Ezekiel Elliott ain't thinking about football. He feel like a veteran. You know when you did so much work in the company, kind of like you spread, you said like a UPS, you been there when you was younger. Now you just come up and show up just whatever you want. Just to get a little money if I decide.
Bounce a half hour into the shift.
That's all that Ezekiel Elliott is doing. He's spread showing up to UPS right now. He's just like, Like, I don't really want to be here, but I'm just popping for a little while, get some benefits, cheating with my guys, go home.
Yep. Fifth bump, talk to my buddies about the game, see what they all want.
Feel the temperature of the room, you know, that's great.
You know what really helps me? Five Star is really gauging the public, though, because we get lost in this world, and I'll be on my timeline, everyone be on certain plays. I think the whole world's on it. I got to go in there and find out what the real betting public's thinking. The guys that bet Sunday morning, 15 minutes before kickoff. But Five Star, I got to talk to you about this one, because I cannot believe how many people are on the New York Jets this week. How many times are they going to fall for it? I feel like the whole betting world is Charlie Brown and the Jets are Lucy. They're going to keep pulling the football wagon. How? I can't believe. I don't care. I know Stephon Diggs. He's a good player. But still, man, you have one competent. I got the better coach. I got the better quarterback. I know you're not happy with their line, but it's still a better line of scrimmage. They don't got no 40-year-old tackle that was washed up for 3 years. I got a way better defense. How? I don't understand how people think the Jets can win this game. It got to be NFL referee Jank. There's no way from a football perspective to me the Texans can lose this game. And I'm surprised how many people keep betting on the Jets. It's just wild to me.
This is fake news. What's happening is there's a lot of reports that all the money is on the Texans, which a lot of it is. But I always talk about this. When you're dealing with Jets games, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be so much rich money come out the New York area that – follow the Jets and love the Jets, because their fan base is guys who really have a lot of money and had a lot of success in life for the most part. You don't see a lot of, you know, the Giants got the more neighborhood guys out in New York. You know, the Jets is a different little group of guys from that Queens area that love them, man. And it's an affluent area, and they're going to always slam the Jets. So we got fake news going where they're putting out there, as you know, that it's a lot of bets on the Texans. But as you just said, Spread, if you listen to the handicappers, everybody wants the Jets. So
I don't know why. I don't know what they're seeing. What are they
seeing? They're looking at the percentages, man. That's all.
It seems to me they're playing fantasy football. They're not looking at the line of scrimmage. The Jets can't block, and then they can't stop the run. How are they going to win? And you don't think that – I know you've had criticisms of Slowick. But you don't think D'Amico Ryan's going to get in his head and be like, run the ball. Did you see what Buffalo did?
That's all they have to do.
James Cook like O.J. Simpson against his team.
Yeah, that's all they have to do. But I know Ceno going to take the Jets. Tell him why.
Cino. It's here. Are you going to do it, Ceno?
You say Ceno going to take the Jets? Nah, hell nah. My number's
not. Thank God.
The Jets in the
Finally league. Some wisdom on these shows this week. God, so I've been going crazy. All the people betting the Jets.
I'm not taking the Jets. We are money lining the Texans. Are y'all crazy? In this situation, I don't care what the numbers say. You money. Matter of fact, we make that an official play. You see, no money line the Texans. CJ Stroud, he going to show up after, you know, that decent performance he had last week. And people talking about CJ fell off. Y'all nuts. The kid out there playing and still throwing for touchdowns and doing what he got to do. He don't have to come out and give y'all 100-plus fantasy points every week. Y'all crazy, man.
I got him on fantasy, and I've been having to bench him. I got Jaden Daniels starting over him every week now.
Well, I know you fantasy's kind of jank like that, though, because if you can run, it changes everything, right?
Yeah, but no Jets. Don't fall for that Jets hype. We're going to see him crying and boo-hooing again. That's the new nursing home. Fuck the Jets.
Man, we face the Jets every time they're on the board on the Wagon World.
Probably lost so much money and units on the Jets.
And I don't want so much money going against them.
Hey, and it's crazy because, look, one of my top clients, he texted me. He said, man, I should have waited for you. The Jets just killed my teaser. Because, again, why you, bro? We don't bet the Jets. We don't bet that team.
Man, like, Spread talked about that on Friday. Yeah, you know, I told him, I was like, man, there's no way in hell that the Patriots lose by 7 points to the Jets. They might just money line them, and they money line them.
Money line.
Another one, that's two of our big dogs. I should just take them straight up. I took the +7, and I took the +8.5 with Cleveland. And I said, man, I gotta do a five star and at least throw a little quarter unit here because I'm leaving food on the table here that I could be eating.
Yeah, don't be scared of that money line, Spread.
Let's do it. Let's talk about some college football, and that'll be tonight. Man, I think these lines are tougher, but you do a good job with them. Kennesaw State is catching 24, taking on Western Kentucky. Another couple teams I don't know anything about. What do you got here?
My official play on this one is Western Kentucky first half. Western Kentucky will be beating their ass by halftime. I don't know if later on in the game it gets a little slick, but I can tell you one thing. Western Kentucky is 8-2 against the spread, 8-2 straight up in their last 10. Ever since they gave the quarterback duties to that kid, Caden Veldkamp. He replaced the transfer TJ Finley, kid from Monroe that went to LSU and Auburn, 6'7 kid, but they replaced with a 6'6 kid, Veldkamp. And I like Veldkamp, man. Be honest with you, he could play. He's taking that offense to new levels. He's been in the system for 3 years, and he struggled with interceptions, but last week I think he kind of turned the page, man. He looked really good at Sam Houston, man. Big physical, imposing his will on people, on short yardage, and also he's got some wheels, man. He can run pretty well. Really fast, quick receivers, as always, at Western Kentucky. One thing that you can always count on is that the Helton, a bunch of those Heltons out there, is just the baggy boy type. Going to put up some points, man. That's just what he does. And I think that they'll overwhelm Kennesaw. Kennesaw partied all week. They haven't won a game all year. They upset Liberty is 27-point dogs at home. Man, they still drunk. So we going with first half on West Kentucky. I think West Kentucky beats their ass, but especially early. So we'll go first half. I think it's minus 13.5 or something like that, minus 12.5 or something. Like that, whatever it is, anything under minus 14, take it with Western Kentucky.
You got anything on this one?
Definitely five star on this one, man. Kennesaw State, they had to play the, you know, miracle to get the win that they had last week. And the football player, he bet against himself. They still partying, college kids. They still drunk, fraternities, all type of stuff going on. You know, it's Halloween. They probably got Halloween parties and shit, stuff like that of that nature. I definitely think, why would we go against the Hilltoppers? Like Five said, what, they covered the spread 8 of the last 12 games. Full game, another easy play. Western Kentucky.
Yes, all right, five star. Break down Georgia State at UConn. I'll be right back.
Okay. Georgia State is a better team than their record shows. They're 2-5, but they really have some really explosive players. They've been in some close games against some pretty good competition. Just haven't been able to get over the hump. They upset Vanderbilt this year, so you know that they could play. UConn, overrated. Jim Moore Jr. is doing a really good job over there, giving them hope and having them play better. But at the end of the day, they still struggle scoring because they're just not really good offensively. They just really aren't athletic. And also, their defense struggles with speed. I think that Georgia State is able to keep this number within it. So I'm going with Georgia State plus 7.5 on the road against UConn. What you guys, you know?
All right, here, big brother. UConn, they got a chance to, you know, on a bowl spot. So I definitely think they get the win. I've been playing this UConn team a couple games. They ain't been doing me justice. So it's like Rutgers, man. I watch these games, and the games I watch, like the brother say, use your eyes. That eye test is a lot, man. I'm not about to bet against hell, nah. So I know that money line probably because, you know, to get in the bowl. But tight game, man. I'm with you on the points, Five.
Yeah, we definitely taking the points on there with Georgia State.
All right, Georgia State, I'll jump in on that with you guys right now. How about a Mountain West battle? San Diego State, the Aztecs, catching 23.5, traveling to the blue field of the Boise State Broncos. What do you got there, five-star?
San Diego State used to be a really, really proud university, man. They had a pretty good team, but this year, not so much. They aren't as good as they usually have been in the past. I think that we're going to see an Ashtey Jenton game. They know that last week he didn't have a lot of success against UNLV, even though he went over 100 yards. It took him 33 carries to get there. They've never had a Heisman Trophy winner at Boise State. This is their first opportunity, so I expect them to really be feeding the hell out of him this game and trying to get him involved. So I'd probably be looking at his stats for one, Ashtey Jenton, but 23 points is just a lot of points to be given up in this game, man. I know the San Diego State isn't as good as they've been in the past, but they're real familiar with Boise State. And one thing that you can always count on with San Diego State is usually they fight, man. They really fight hard, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. So it's not an official play for me, but I'd probably lean on this game taking San Diego and the points, man. San Diego State and the points. It's just too many points for me. Big win just now for Boise. And as I said, I think that they're going to overfeed Jenty in this game, trying to get him, you know, involved and get him to the Heisman. So no play for me on this one. I'd lean probably the points for San Diego State, but I'd probably also look at all the overs you could find on Jenty.
Sino, what do you got for this one?
I don't know, everybody loving Boise. They one of everybody's favorite teams to bet on right now. In these situations, I take the points. So it'll just be a San Diego State play for me as a lean. I'm not on this game. It's too tight. It's too close.
So, you know, who's going to win the Heisman? Do we see Ginty will do it?
Man, I want to see Travis Hunter do it, to be honest. But Cam Ward, you got to give it to Cam. The way he's playing out there in Miami, that's a no-brainer. Anybody else that don't get it, something not right.
Is that what you think, too, five-star?
It's going to come down to the end, but I know that in New York, I probably see them inviting Ashley Ginty, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, and who would be the fifth one? Maybe, I don't know, maybe Dylan Gabriel for Oregon. That's who you got to watch.
He definitely in there.
Dylan Gabriel is someone you got to watch. Dylan Gabriel could very well get it done. So Dylan Gabriel would be one to watch for me.
All right. Let's move to the people segment, the ball and parlay. Five star, you got yours ready?
Yes, sir. We're rolling with the first half on Western Kentucky. Let's go Western Kentucky, minus 14. It's at 14 now, minus 105, but I still think it's good. We're going with Western Kentucky, minus 14, first half against lowly Kennesaw State, coming off a big upset victory. They're going to be tired and hungover.
Zeno, what do you got for the people?
I go riding the association. I've been doing real well on that. I've been giving them out on I give it out on here, and I give it out on X, Y, not. So it's a win-win for you guys. Taking the New York Knicks tonight. I don't like the way Miami Heat been playing at home. I just didn't play against the Detroit Pistons. I had the Pistons stuff other day, recovered by half a point. Miami, they're not looking good. I don't know what the hell Jimmy Butler and them doing, Bam them doing. They have to make some adjustments. Coach Spo, Pat Riley, them, y'all got to get it together. It's just the city of Miami. There's something wrong. The Dolphins, the Heat not winning tonight. So big play for Sino. We're on the New York Knicks. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree with you on that Knicks play. I'm surprised though. It was plus two when I wrote it up yesterday. It's minus 1.5 now. I was looking for the news, and I didn't see. So the market must agree with us, you know, here. One thing I would say is I think Miami's given up their identity. They were always a defense-first team, and they made that push to get Terry Rozier, but now they got three guards who can't defend. They got Hero, Robinson, and Rozier that are all basically food to any point guard with any modicum of offensive skills, which is about 28 of them now. Is all I've never seen point guard depth like this in the NBA. So I'm with you on the New York Knicks tonight.
So look, that's one dog. Hold up, I'm gonna give them one more. We gotta roll. We have to roll with the JJ Redick Lakers. We gotta roll with JJ Lakers.
Don't do that to me.
I have to tonight. We have to. I faded the Lakers the other day against the Suns. Just in this spot, LeBron going back to Cleveland. I mean,
4.5.
You think so, Sino? Cleveland look good. I think they're going to blow them out.
Cleveland look amazing. They look great.
And again, because Bron coming home, you think Bron that's your Bron angle?
Yeah, that's one.
I ain't betting because, you know, I don't bet a lot of NBA, but I'm not going to lie. I'd probably bet Cleveland on this one.
That's one of my angles again. Now, look, Lakers might money line, but we taking the points. So we taking the 4.5 again. I play the NBA certain type of ways. My record is crazy. Ask the Raw Group. I ain't gave out a loser yet on Twitter since the NBA season started. We here.
I don't want to hear that, man.
We've been good on the NBA, though. In my group, we did like 4 or 5 plays. We haven't lost one. We took Orlando Magic the other night, first half. That's the only one we played.
Yeah. I joined the contest. I'm super, super excited about it, too. I tell you guys how I go towards the end of the season, and I jumped in.
Which one, the NBA one?
I'm in the NBA contest. I don't want to miss it.
At Westgate?
I don't want to mention it because guys can see my picks and stuff like that. Yeah, and I changed my name and stuff. But right now, I missed the day and I jumped in late. And out of all the people, dude, it's over 1,000 people right now. I'm sitting at number 30. So and I started late. And Sino here. And don't say Sino on that chart because I don't want you guys using my plays and stuff like that. But yeah, it's about to be fun. Let's go.
I can't believe you guys left this one for me. Give me the Houston Texans. Yeah, I'm going to fade the Jets again. Everyone gonna say, "Oh, Stephon Diggs, CJ Stroud is good, man. He's gonna." First of all, he got great chemistry with Tank Dell right off the bat.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do we always say about these great quarterbacks? What did Tom Brady do? What did Peyton Manning do? Right. What did the really great quarterbacks do? They can make pretty much any receiver look good. Yeah. And I think we're gonna see that from CJ Stroud. I think the public is overreacting to this Diggs news. I agree with you. It's too bad. for him because, you know, he does deserve his money and he's probably going to get a little less now. But from a betting perspective, I don't downgrade this much. I'll tell you what, five-star, I'm more worried about that center and the concussion on the offensive line than I am losing Stephon Diggs. So, you know, if I do lose this bet, which would be crazy, I mean, the Jets just keep inventing ways to lose. It'll probably be because of that. Also, safety, Jimmy Ward, I don't think he's going to be out there. And we're missing a couple linebackers on the Texan side as well. So, you know, I can understand some reasons, but still, man, I got a well-coached team. I got the better quarterback. And we're going to play the game right, man. Jets are going to go. I wonder how Aaron Rodgers is going to feel at the end of this year if he even want to come back to this team. But give me the Texans to just make this nightmare of the New York Jets even worse. And the only bad thing for this, five-star, is the Jets might be picking ahead of my Raiders if the season continues this way because they might steal Shedeur Sanders.
Look, it's a couple teams, and they're one of them. Prime ain't going for that. But
I hope not.
Yeah, he's not going for that. Devin White, he's with the Texans now, and he did pretty well last week. I think that he'll be okay for them and, you know, kind of shear up some of those injuries that they're dealing with. Tank Dell now gets a chance to be himself. He was kind of like the odd man out in that, you know, offense. So now it just goes right back to how it used to be, where he's the number one option. They got some really good backup receivers in Houston. A lot of people don't know they got the best wide receiver in Iowa State history, Xavier Hutchinson. He balls. He just doesn't get enough playing time. He plays special teams mostly because they have, you know, higher paid guys ahead of him. He's a 7th-round pick. He can play. John Mitch can play, as you guys know, from Alabama. He's a guy that can go too. So I ain't worried about the Texans moving the ball. You know, I'm more worried about them blocking up and giving CJ time. If they give him time, everything will be okay. Run the ball with Mixon will be okay. Guys, let's sweep this ball and parlay again like we did on the last show. Let's keep rolling. We appreciate you all for tuning in. Anything for the people before we get out of this, you know?
Man. Again, I appreciate you guys so much. We put 20 plus units on X. You know, been shining. He's been doing his thing. I'm good to be back with the wager this week. 2 underdogs because we're doing it for the underground and underdogs. And it's us versus the machine, man. We appreciate y'all. Just hit that like button and the bell button. You get all the winners.
What up, Spread? What you got for the people?
Man, it's another fun show today, man. And as soon as we're done here, I'm going to be looking forward to Friday because we got a great weekend of football to break down. I got a bunch of NFL takes, but I can't. You guys been giving me so much money on Saturday. Everyone goes, what you think about this? I go, I don't know nothing about college football. I just listen to Five Star Casino.
I appreciate
place the
it,
bets
man.
On the show.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
again, I don't count nothing. I don't know the quarterback's names. I don't know the coach's names. I just place the bet and win some money. So I can't wait till this weekend.
But your family spread. That's what we do.
Real what's quick, though, one more thing, man. And look, man, tell y'all friends about the Waves and Rub, man. Y'all don't hold back the information again because a lot of guys don't know nothing about
they go hold it back, you know. They
oh, I know because they don't
they
want
say
nobody.
That in the comments. They don't
yeah,
want to find
out
about
it.
I don't know because not... you know what they're doing. They like, man, as soon as everybody knows, it's
yeah,
gonna
they
be
think,
over for them.
Yeah, they think we're gonna go Hollywood or we're gonna start janking.
We're
not gonna do that, man. Nah. We're gonna keep it 100. We're gonna keep it the same.
We're gonna be just like McAfee. McAfee
didn't
change, did he? McAfee still on ESPN cussing, right?
Yeah,
well, what is
it? Yeah,
every shot
in the TikTok yelling every morning. Every morning, but man, again, we appreciate y'all, and that's the best thing, man. Just share with us because we're giving out constant winners, man. 5-star positive for the year, Spread positive for the year. I'm positive for the year, man. You guys can take these winners again. You guys can take these winners and just come buy packages with us. It's so easy. Like again, I'm up 20 units, 5-star. I'm sure 20 units, Spread up 20 units just within these past few weeks, man. We're here to help y'all. It's us versus the machine. Let's go.
Yeah, we do that every week, man, with the private group. But this is what we're doing. We got to realize that, guys, we spend our time here, so we need the love. So retweet it, like it, send out the link, like Lil Bro said, because the ultimate goal, like everyone, is always to get syndicated. We want the show to grow. We want to get to other people because we feel like we're the last show that's giving out the real. Like, we don't want to be a part of the machine. That's why I always say it's us versus the machine. You don't ever have to worry about 5-star selling out this show and selling you guys out and cutting any type of deals with any of these TV networks or casinos is going to make me change the data that we're giving out to you guys. Man, we do this for one reason and one reason only, and that's to make sure that you get home a winner, that you make you some money. you know, this is our way of giving back, bro. This is what we do as charity. This is the way we give back, is giving you guys free winners. And if you followed the show for the last 3 years, if you just bet straight bets, you can buy you a brand new house. All you gotta do is bet them straight. You gotta,
that's it.
If you bet straight, man, we this is always what we do. We give the best analysis. We have a great time, and we get the most winners, man. We appreciate you all for tuning in. It's always us versus the machine. As always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. We'll see you guys on Friday. This is The Wagering World. Hit that like.